Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back for another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us again this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We got a really cool show for you today. Donna Rinelli is here, and Donna has written a great book called Breath of a Child, Discover and Allow Yourself to Be Who You Were Born to Be. And those of us that are looking to reinvent ourselves and to move in a more positive direction, Donna's got some inspiring things to say. And we're going to talk to Donna right after this. You're listening to The Journey of Hope. I'm Rodney Miller. Hey, send me some mail. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney at yahoo.com. That's the free one. That's why I do that one. But hey, listen, I don't really care about why you went to prison. What I'd like to know is how you're doing. How are things going? Do you have some suggestions for the show, or so there's some things that you've come across in your reentry that you think we ought to be talking about? Drop me a line. Once again, it's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Send me some mail. She cursed me and said I was a loser. She said get used to things, cause that girl ain't going home. I think I am more than. Welcome back. My guest today is Donna Rinelli. Donna has written a great book called Breath of a Child, Discover and Allow Yourself to Be Who You Were Born to Be. This book is about finding the things in life that fill your soul. Hi, Donna. How are you?
Great. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Listen, Donna, this is a book about healing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It
is. Now,
I started writing the book. It took me 2 years. It's a small book. It's 104 pages, but I took 2 years to write it because I wanted to get over anger from things that happened to me in the past. I had just I turned, you know, in my 40s, and I had went through college, and I did all the things that, you know, a person is supposed to do, and I realized that I wasn't happy, and I had to find out why. And, you know, I went around and I talked about my abuse a lot, but it just, after a while, just talking about it didn't do anything because I wasn't actually doing anything about it. So I decided to take a journey of change, towards change, and examine these things in my life about my childhood and what brought me here, and find out, you know, what things brought me to be who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even though you went through those things, you know, people listening to this show have been through a lot as well, but letting go of a painful past, that's possible, isn't it?
It is possible. It really is, because if you really start to look at it as tools that we get in our lives, I mean, so many things have really come from bad situations that people do that help a lot of people in the world. And unfortunately, you know, things do happen to people. But it's just like the things that I went through. I'm a respiratory therapist. I never would have became a respiratory therapist, and I'm very loving and caring towards my patients. And I really believe that I wouldn't have been that way. And a lot of people in the medical field have gone through bad situations. So these things really can help you in your life. And if you look back, and you see, okay, instead of looking at it as a bad thing that happened to me, I'm going to look at it as something that are tools to be who I am today. Mm-hmm. And if you switch it around and you change it from, oh, this is something, you know, I'm very angry about this and I hate people and I don't like, and change it around, say, okay, I'm going to look at it and see what I can, how I can use this to better myself and help others.
Before we go and try to better ourselves, and get past this these things that have happened in our past life, is it important that we take a real good hard look and examine the things that have happened to us in the past, or should we just, you know, kind of move on past it and let it go? What do you say about that?
Well, I think it is very important to talk about it.
Okay.
It's very important to get your anger out, in healthy ways. Talking to people or do whatever you have to do. I mean, after all, you know, when we go through a bad situation, we do have other feelings and we have other issues from it. And I think it's very healthy to get it out. I mean, like I wrote in the book, I mean, there were days that I got in my car, and once I was able to stop being numb from it, and I was very honest with myself, and I said, okay, this is really how I'm feeling. I got to stop being so numb from it. I would cry all the way home, you know, in my car. And there were times when I would go in my bedroom, and I would scream and holler. And this was after I started writing the book, and you know, because I had to get that out. And,
right.
Because just talking about it and being angry just made me, well, I don't really want to say, you know, I was angry, but I was hiding it. I was stuffing it down like a garbage can. And I always say it's like, you know, you have a garbage can and, you know, you have all the things on the top that are not so bad. But as you kind of start digging through it and stuff, you have the really yucky stuff on the bottom. And so basically, you just kind of work through your layers.
So you've got to look at it and deal with it before you move forward. Okay.
Yes. You really do. And you have to be very honest with yourself and say, what am I doing in my life today that is causing problems in my life? Because when we keep that anger, I feel like we're inviting that abuser into our life. When we don't forgive the situation, all we're doing is inviting that person into our life, and that's something I'm sure that we never wanted to do in the first place.
Right. Well, what I have found is that people that can look back at their past, you know, people in my situation and people that have been incarcerated and come home, that they're successful in their paroles and in their reentry if they can admit that they screwed up and take a good look at, you know, the things that led up to that and how to keep it from happening again. But I want to go back to this idea of anger. You seem to bring that up a lot. What role does anger play in our ability to get past problems in our past? Talk to us about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, anger, I think, can be, when you're going through this, like I said, you want to be able to release your anger in a healthy way. I mean, you know, you don't want to be angry at other people. You want to be very honest with yourself. And you know, it's just like a death. When you start going, that's the way it was for me. It was like a death. And you do go through the stages of death. You go through anger. And I really believe that it's okay to had that, when you're going through the healing process, it's okay to release your anger, scream and holler, or cry and do whatever you have to do. But to hold it in and to deny what has happened to you, because a lot of times when things happen to people, or say if they do something in the past and, you know, they want to just deny that it happened, you know, and all they do is just keep cramming it down and keep filling up that garbage can. And so by releasing it in a healthy way, we're able to get that anger out and admit and be honest with ourselves and say, okay, this is what happened. And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, from being angry for all these years, I raised two children. And I mean, I was a good mother, but there were things that I did that I look back that I think, oh boy, you know, that's where that anger came out, you know, just yelling at my kids or triggers. That's another thing, triggers. Triggers are something that people do innocently to you, that they could just be playing around doing something innocently to you, and it triggers things that happen to you. And then you can cause a very bad situation. So all it does is cause hate to keep carrying these things. So you have to start looking at your triggers and start saying, okay, and then take that trigger and recognize it and say, okay, I need to switch it to a better thought or action. And then we start rewiring our brain. So once we start rewiring our brain, then we're able to get over the anger much better and creating new memories in our lives. You know, say, look, what I did is what I did, or what happened to me is what happened, and I'm going to put it behind me now. I'm ready. I got the anger out. I'm looking at my triggers. Now I'm going to start creating better memories in my life. And, you know, as adults, we can do that and not be so hard on yourself when you do slip and you have, okay, I've gone through this, this, and this, and now I'm creating better memories, and then you have a moment. You know, it's just, you just keep pursuing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And like I said, it took me 2 years to actually start feeling peace from everything.
So the writing of the book was this cathartic process for you. Donna, do we know some healthy ways to release anger?
I think a lot of what I did was, I would try to create better memories for myself. I would do things like, take walks on the beach. You know, I mean, I don't mean to be so, walks on the beach. But, like, try to say, okay, well, you know, I'm angry. You know, you could talk to people in your life, you know, that maybe that you've affected from your anger. And try to work, you know, apologize or just talk to them, you know, I didn't really know, you know, I didn't really realize what I was doing. And just talking to people, being with people, reaching out to people, keeping yourself busy, looking at those triggers, meditating. I do a lot of meditation. You know, try to find things, different things that, you know, new hobbies or something to keep your mind. I really believe in hobbies. I think goals are great. But I think hobbies are better because they really kind of help you connect to yourself and find out who you really are in life. Because with hobbies, we do things that we enjoy. With goals, you know, we might feel like, oh, I got to go back to school, you know, and we may not like school, you know, or we may not like, you know, something else that are considered goals. So really get into hobbies. Hobbies help you think a lot.
I really like the idea of hobbies. We talk a lot here on Journey of Hope about downtime, and it seems to be dangerous. So we try to eliminate not all the downtime, but some of it, particularly those of us that, you know, had some kind of an addiction issue prior to incarceration. Donna, listen, great information. We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to be right back with Donna Rinelli right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
It's grace that taught my heart.
Hello. You know what time it is. It's time to talk about the Jam Buddy chord chart. One of the things I've done in my reentry is I've tried to be as constructive as possible with my downtime, and I'm learning how to play a couple of different instruments. And one of the things that's really helped me is something called the Jam Buddy chord chart. And what this does is it teaches you something called the Nashville numbering system, which enables you to play songs no matter what the instrument in every key. It's really cool. It's called the Jam Buddy chord chart. And if you look over to the right of the podcast, there's a link there. All you got to do is click on it and go find the Jam Buddy chord chart. Check it out. If you're into music, you're going to want one of these, the Jam Buddy chord chart. Hey everybody, welcome back. We're talking with Donna Rinelli today. She's written a book called Breath of a Child. She's got some really great ideas here, and we had been talking about anger and some other things, how to get past the past and to move on and be productive in our lives. And Donna, now even though we have to recognize the past for what it is, like you said, we don't want to blame our future on it, do we? And how no. How do we go about, you know, not taking the victim stance? How do we do that?
Well, what you have to do is, what I did was, I started looking around and I started saying, okay, I started seeing the world as a safe place and stopped being so negative about it. And I kept telling myself, like, there would be times when, you know, I would say I would have a bunch of company coming over and stuff, and I'd have a wonderful day planned, and I would just wake up and I would be so nervous and I would just be in a bad mood, and I had to stop saying, what is wrong with me? And it felt like, I think what it was I didn't feel safe with myself and safe with my environment, so I had to tell myself I am safe, and I kept repeating that. And you know, and other things too that you can do is that I did was I started seeing myself as a loving and caring human being instead of seeing myself as this, you know, handicapped emotional person who had problems from the past, and start liking myself and saying, you know what, I do deserve to be loved, and I deserve to love other people without feeling as if there was something wrong with me. And just basically rewiring my brain, I'm a very firm believer that we could rewire our brains. We have the ability to do that. You know, it's just constant habit, constant habit, constant habit. And I will tell you that one thing, as a respiratory therapist, I really, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to even say that I was a big time, I smoked cigarettes like you wouldn't believe. I was a closet smoker. You know, and I knew I was killing myself, so I had to also get rid of the addiction of cigarettes. And I know a lot of people think, oh, well, just cigarettes. But for me, it's a big deal because, you know, I take care of people that smoke, and I see what it does to them.
Right.
And so I had to also help myself with that addiction. And so I had to really keep my mind busy and constantly rewire my brain every time I would think a negative thought. I would change it to a better thought. I stopped thinking of myself as a bad person, thinking of all the mistakes I did. You got to stop being hard on yourself and the guilt alone. I mean, you know, yeah, we have guilt for a certain reason, but guilt can kill you after a while. You can't keep, you know, guilt keeps us honest and everything like that, but also can't feel guilty for the rest of your life for things that have happened to you or things that you have done. You have to move forward. It's very important to move forward.
Donna, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write this book.
Okay, well, you know, younger, you know, I had a very, very happy childhood as far as up to age 5. And I was very, very independent even as a 5-year-old. And as I got older, my mother had went to, you know, she had gotten married, and that's when all the abuse started and stuff. But I always felt like, you know, people ask me all the time, how did you go through what you went through and you come out the way you have? And I think as a child, I never stopped believing really in God. And a lot of times, when I was younger, people back in the 60s and 70s, they came to your house and would take you to church. So I went to a lot of churches by the time I was 10. And I really was able to see how other people viewed God and how they, you know, worshiped. And I was able to be able to respect that. And it really kept my faith throughout my life, even during the dark days that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I always just seemed to reach for a lot of things that I, you know, reach for better things in my life. Also, too, you know, when I lived in Virginia and I was going through the hard times and stuff, I would go and meditate. And I learned that from Provincetown. I lived in Provincetown back in the 70s. And I was always, you know, like I said, I was 5 years old walking around. I write about that in the book. I was walking around, and back then, I guess it was safe enough. And I would talk to the tourists and just be around people. And I used to watch, the people meditate. And I learned meditation when I was very, very young. So that was something that I did my whole life.
Huh.
And that really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got older, I had 2 children, and I went through school while I had them, and I really didn't graduate until they were teenagers. And I worked in a trauma hospital for 13 years and took care of people on life support. I still do life support and comas.
Wow.
And I just see life, as, you know, there were times when after I would, you know, when I first started, I would really think of death a lot. And I thought, you know what, I am alive. I cannot be doing this when I get out of my job. So what I did was I put a sign up in my house. The first thing I saw when I walked through the door was, I am alive, because I had to get a different mind frame.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a lot of how people's lives change. I mean, from the age of a month to 90 years old, how people's lives really, really change. And life does change in a blink of an eye.
It does.
And that's why we really cannot be wasting time feeling guilty and mad about things.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
I think what you had, it sounds like, is this epiphany of our mortality, which is very interesting. Donna, what advice do you have for the ex-offenders that are listening to the show today on their reentries and having successful reintegration?
Don't feel like it's not for you. Anything is possible in your life. You can do whatever you want. If you want that better life, don't think that you're a nobody or a nothing, and you just, you know, you're not deserving of it, because that's not the truth. And I heard this one somewhere, and circumstances doesn't matter. It's state of being that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true, and I live my life like that. And Dr. Dyer also says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So, It's how we view the world. Nobody else is seeing the world through your eyes except for you. So how you think is your world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to live in a world that is painful, frustrating, and feel like you're a nobody, that's how you're going. Those are the people that you're going to attract in your life. But if you start rewiring your brain and start thinking, you know what, I am a good person. I'm not a bad person. you know, I'm a loving, caring person. I want this in my life. This is possible for me. You'll start attracting things like that in your life, and you'll start being around people like that. And it will change your life, because anything is possible, anything. And it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're 69 years old, you know, and you think, oh, my whole life is gone. That's not true. You know, we can change things in our life at any time in our life and have whatever we want. And like I said, Dr. Dyer's brother, he actually is 69 years old, and he quit drinking. His whole life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to show you that it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what happened to you or what you've done. If you want that change and you really want to be whatever you want to be, if you want to go back to school at 69 years old or 65 or 40 or whatever, do it. Do what makes you happy. These are the things that excite you, and that's what you really need to be around.
Donna, excellent, excellent advice. Where can we get your book?
You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's on Kindle, Nook, and eBook. And you can get it there. And you can go to, I have a blog it's in the back of the book too, for their address, but it's breathofachild.blog.com.
Cool.
And I have blogs and stuff, yeah.
Cool. Donna Rinelli, Breath of a Child. Donna, you're delightful. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take another quick break. Thank you. And I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Right back after this. That music again. It must mean we're done. We've come to the end of another podcast. I want to thank Donna Rinelli, my special guest, and I want to remind you, if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.